All right, welcome to Mountain West Connection Show. Here we're getting
I hear
started.
I hear you.
Hold on, let me. I can edit this out. Let's restart this out. That was ridiculous.
Really? Because I thought that was perfect.
It was. No, let's. I haven't brought it. All right, let's start again.
Get up in the evening feeling like Craig Thompson. Yeah. Grab my laptop, set up my mic. I'm gonna rant and rave some before I record. Grab a glass of Coke and Jack. Because when we begin recording, I know I'm not refilling that. Talking, previewing all the games, analyzing stats and plays, laughing, poking fun at names. Jeremy reads and quotes Phil Steele zine, pulling up numbers and reads, starting to get a bit off topic, see? What? Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the games not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. We're biased against your team, and we make that clear. Don't get paid, don't ever fade, cause we're already here. Talk about hoops and football, cause we got all the swagger. Sometimes guests come on the show, but we never have Mick Jagger. All the writers cramping up. Matt's throwing his arms up. Kyle's got all the funny stuff. We go until SBN shuts us down, or the Mountain West hunts us down. Mountain West shuts us down, nobody's gonna shut us down. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, whoa, whoa,
welcome
whoa.
Back to Lace Mountain West whoa, Connection whoa, Show, whoa, take whoa. Two. So I'm sorry if you heard part one or any part of it. We apologize. There were a few issues. Internet is our best, not our best friend, but MWCConnection.com. That's the website where we kind of type stuff on there sometimes. Usually, well, more often than not. Google Plus, or not Google Plus. We're recording Google Plus. We do have a Google Plus page, but I haven't used that in probably 2 months.
We're recording for Google Plus. We have a Google Plus page. We have a Facebook page. We have a Twitter page. We have, I don't know, do we have Snapchat yet?
I don't know how to use Snapchat.
It's what all the kids are into. It's what all the kids are into. Did you know that Kylie Jenner announced her engagement today?
Who's that?
On Snapchat. It's totally official. I have no clue.
I know that from the soup.
I don't care. I hear it from the
kids. I watch The Soup, and so that's where I get that stuff from. No, I've messed around with Snapchat, but I don't really... I know what it's for, but I don't really get how to use it, because I'll look at what Comedy Central or ESPN has up on there. They have nice videos, like good stuff like you'd find anywhere else. But then I see just whoever on Snapchat's like, I do a video or something, like I don't understand what to do for it, so... But this is the show. We'll get to it. We're here talking Mountain West stuff. Before we get to the actual games, there's a couple pieces of news or air quotes controversy going on within the conference or whatever and college football overall. But let's just start with the news we discussed last night. Poor Chucky Keaton. Poor Chucky Keaton.
It makes me sad.
Let me ask you this. We already talked about it last night, so let's kind of recreate what really happened. But should he have even come back this year? Because I know we're all excited about it when we heard he was coming back. And we're hoping for 2012 Chucky Keaton. But it never happened. And we questioned it. And it may be the reason they're struggling, because I feel Darrell Garrettson's a better quarterback. And he's long gone.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, what do you think he, like, what are your thoughts? Should he have hung it up or just... I don't know. I think he should have. Even back then, I was excited, but not.
I was the one who made the joke about the Chucky Keaton for Heisman, so I possibly jinxed it. But that being said, it's one of those things that's just you can't. you have to be cautious, especially like when it's 6 years, you know, 6 years in the making. And the first year was successful and everything else was essentially not. You kept getting injured. And when you get injured that many times, I mean, you have to kind of hang up the cleats after a while.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason, because here's the thing. Had it been a true competition, Garrettson should have been the starter because he could throw the ball. He played well. He could wasn't injured, didn't really have a chance of injury as much as Keaton had. And he decided, I'm going to go to Oregon State, which was an odd choice a little bit. I know Gary Anderson recruited him, who's now at Oregon State, obviously Utah, Wisconsin. But he's going to have a tough competition there. If he had stayed, he would have had one full year for sure to start. And he had to have known, like, this year he would have could have seen a couple games. And it sucks because him and Hunter Sharp had a good thing going, and now Kent Myers is the starter when they play Colorado State in week and a half, I guess, October 3rd weekend. And he struggled through the deep ball because there's a reason they wanted him at wide receiver in spring.
Why?
Because he can't throw the ball very well. They're going to have Damien Hobbs and DJ Nelson. That's where I'm getting at. The other news, should we talk about UConn and the Big Ten?
Do we have to?
Do you want to? Just for how ridiculous it is?
Not really. I mean, basically what it was that the Big Ten counts UConn and Cincinnati as a Power 5 team, even though they're clearly not. Just because they're already on the schedule. For some reason, Boise State is not on this list of exempt Power 5 teams. So they're just making crap up as they go along, essentially.
Yeah, it's basically that BYU...
It's not even like UConn is even a good team.
Yeah, it's BYU, Notre Dame, Army, and whatever. Cincinnati's good enough, but it's basically the Big Ten requires one game out of conference to get to Power 5 opponents. And I guess some people are saying, oh, they used to be a Power 5 in the Big East or a Big 6, whatever you want to call it. But they're on the schedule. Indiana plays both, so that has to count because that's a tough game for any game's a tough game for Indiana and Illinois, even when they play each other. It's a tough game. And the reason I found, even our guy Daniel, he writes for our guy's UConn blog. I get his point, but I still don't agree with it. He told me not to bash him too much, so I'm not. But I understand his point saying here's why it was done. Because A, they're on the schedule. B, they were in the Big East when Big East had football. But I made a fun comment because your guy Nicholas over Underdog Dynasty wrote more in depth than I did on it. I don't care Boise's left out, really. I'm just upset or concerned they're first, A, making up it as they go, as you said, and B, it's UConn, who's been a full-fledged FBS since 2012, and their best season was, I guess technically, their Fiesta Bowl year, but the most wins they've ever had was 9. They've only had 6 winning seasons ever. They've won 7, not this year including, excluding this year, 14 and 13, they went 5-19 in 2 years. So how does that fit in?
Yeah, and even that year they made the Fiesta Bowl, they were 8-5, right?
Yeah, 8-4, and then they weren't. I don't think they're ranked or something. They were not ranked, and the Fiesta Bowl got rolled by Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Yay! And I guess there's an update. Navy counts as well. I'm like, whatever. But then why even have the distinction? You know what I mean? Like, what's the big deal? Why? It's NCAA. It sucks. That's what it is. Let's get to games. Let's start talking about games. So we're going to, again, this show's probably not going to be too long because there's only, what did we say, 7 games, correct?
8.
Oh, 8 games. Oh, we must have miscalculated last night. Good. Another reason that show got deleted about 6 hours after it was posted. So, I thought I had the schedule. I have not posted our schedule yet. So let's do this.
Tomorrow night,
5 p.m.
That's right. Come on, you haven't memorized this?
No, we did. I was looking for something else. Oh, real quick, did you take a look at our power poll this week that I finally posted?
Yes.
So, real quick, Boise got all the first place votes of 12, which, whatever, it's fine. They won. Air Force lost their number 2. Utah State lost their number 3. Colorado State lost their number 4 still. Not moving. Hawaii moves up despite their UC Davis win at 5th, and they're the highest rated West team, so it's... Hey, it could be Boise State, Hawaii for the title game. Excited for that?
Right.
Actually,
I am. Because last time, you know, somehow remember 2007, or maybe you don't remember 2007, but those teams were in the WAC, and Hawaii beat us to make it to the
Sugar Bowl. Yep.
Sugar Bowl.
Sugar Bowl, they got rolled by Georgia. Now, I remember the interesting thing about Hawaii was that their vote, they had votes from, where was it here? They had a second place vote all the way down to 11th place vote, and three people voted them third and fourth apiece. So they were clearly all over the map. So we'll see. A conference play coming up, that'll hopefully give us an idea of who is what and where. But let's start with Virginia and Boise State. Quarterback issue or quarterback controversy or quarterback play is going to be a big deal. There's no Ryan Finley.
It's not a controversy. It's not an issue. Carson's just saying, I'm going with two quarterbacks. And if you're a Boise State fan, you actually know that means he's going with one quarterback primarily and bringing the other one on Wildcats.
I hope that's the case. Yes, sorry. I apologize. Yes, that's the case. And it's got to be Brett Rippon, right? It can't, no reason for it to be Ogletree. Wait, or excuse me, it's not, wait, who's the back? It's not Thomas Stewart. Who is the, I'm blanking on the name. Who's the other quarterback? Do you not know either? I'm Blade Runner. That's what it was. Okay, I don't know why. The other guy I'm thinking of, yeah, Thomas Stewart. I was thinking of somebody else for some reason, the Alex character. Hey, obviously, we saw Rippon play better. And the win, yeah, Idaho State, but he played much better than anybody else. Harrison, like I said, it's not a controversy. They're just keeping it close of who's starting. And now I don't want to say it doesn't matter because Boise State is a road favorite against Virginia, who did almost beat Notre Dame. But then again, they got beat pretty bad by UCLA and then played William and Mary. So it's like, who is like, how good is this team? And Virginia, normally, the past couple of years haven't been very good. And I'd rather lean on that. Well, they do have, like, Matt Johns, their quarterback, completes the ball pretty well, about 67%. They do have a couple receivers like Cannon Severin and Takina Mizell. Both have almost 20 catches apiece. Those are the two main guys. And if that's their strength, well, Boise State, what, Darian Thompson, Dante Dion will take care of those guys?
Here's the thing. Darian Thompson and Dante Dion, both of those guys have gone either for the pick or they've gone for the hard hit. Most of the time they give up, somebody else has always been there to kind of back it along, which is why there hasn't been too many huge plays this year on the Boise secondary.
So what do you think, like, Virginia? They can score a little bit. They don't really have much of a running game. They can or can't? You don't think they can?
They have a season. I don't think they can score that much, and they haven't faced a defense like Boise State either. UCLA's defense is not great. I mean, BYU put up 30 on them, and that was almost enough.
True, it's not great. I just think Boise will win.
And then Notre Dame's defense, I mean, they're good, but...
They shut down the Georgia Tech for the most part.
Yeah, they did shut down Georgia Tech, but that's shutting down also when you have a strong rush defense and you can shut down a triple option team.
I think it'll be interesting. The weather, I know, they're scheduled for possibly rain, low 60s or upper 60s. I think this game will be somewhat close because you have a new quarterback on the road for the first time. Because remember last time they needed a new quarterback when Joe Southwick was gone and brought in Grant Hedrick for his first start at BYU. That game was not very close. I think this defense is better, and Virginia's not what BYU was when that game happened a couple years ago. I think Boise will probably get a reasonably good win, but it's not going to be – I don't think it's going to be anything spectacular.
Oh, I think it's going to be a two-touchdown win.
All right. Well, you can go with that. That sounds about right for you, I guess. Over-under is only 49 points here. Not many points expected.
Right. So – even if you think about this, even if Boise State only scores, 28 points, at the 28-14 game, I mean, that's still a pretty big win, right?
Yeah, I can see that. I just think it's going to be closer. So let's go to Saturday. New Mexico at Wyoming. I don't get this. We did, our guy Ron put our preview up for the game, or at least the keys for New Mexico. I don't understand why people were commenting or mentioning that New Mexico just has to show up to win. I don't think that's the case at all. Because New Mexico hasn't shown up in any game too much for the most part. First half of Arizona State was pretty good. First half versus Tulsa was pretty good, but maybe second half hasn't. So you can't. I don't expect New Mexico just to. Oh, they're going to win just because Wyoming has been terrible.
Yeah, it doesn't happen like that. There's too many questions on New Mexico right now. Lamar Doran isn't passing great
at all.
Austin Opadadoc is actually passing better than Lamar Doran. And it's been Jarrell Presley or Tyrion Gibson or anybody. It's been kind of a blend of everybody, and nobody can really get going.
Yeah, that's my thing.
Sorry, I'm dying over here.
That's my thing about Jarrell Presley and Taj Gibson. They haven't played well together at all. Like those, what do we put Presley as a top five player in our preseason poll or preseason, our staff preseason list and everything? He has not been acting like that one bit. It's been, like I said, a bunch of guys just, oh, let's go out there and run and throw and do our thing. Here's the thing. Have you looked at, if you don't have in front of you, pull up Wyoming stats real quick. Or actually, it'll probably take a while, but if you look at the conference stats, Wyoming has They have the yards per game. They have the top rusher and top receiver in the conference. Yet they're 0-3.
So they don't have a defense. Is what you're saying?
Exactly, because each like Brian Hill's averaging about 130 a game. Yes, he had that huge 270 I think game versus Eastern Michigan. But then you have Gentry, who even though Cam Coffin's throwing him the ball, not really that good. He's at, 103 per game receiving. He leads the conference. I thought I had it up here in front of me. It's 103. Yeah, leads in conference 103. He leads the second in receptions at 17 and averages 18 yards per catch and a pair of touchdowns. But yet they're 0-3 and haven't really been close in any game this year. Can you explain that at all?
Could have beaten Washington State last.
Yeah, but lost by two touchdowns.
Yeah. But that being said, I mean, you're still talking about they're hanging in there with Pullman, a pass-heavy offense. And for a while they were matching them. I mean, they didn't get too far behind. They only lost by, like you said, they lost by two touchdowns. But it's not a matter of getting.
So what do you expect? Do you think New Mexico can stop them? Or New Mexico will just run over them? I think this will be in a close game, but I think here's a weird thing. New Mexico is a 3.5 road favorite. When's the last time New Mexico has been a favorite at all, let alone on the road?
Tulsa. Or was the Tulsa game at home?
That was a home game.
They were 8-point favorite over Tulsa.
Something like that. That was a home game. So I don't know what to make, because New Mexico's defense isn't very good. But neither is Wyoming's. It's probably be an ugly, ugly game. But I think it could be, at least offensively, could be somewhat exciting with Brian Hill running the ball. I guess I'll go to New Mexico because they showed me a little bit more than Wyoming, but I'm not confident in taking that team.
You know, we talked about somebody who just has to lose ball games this year. I gotta say, that's got to be Wyoming. I think New Mexico covers the 3 points.
I remember we also said Wyoming, before we thought they'd go to a bowl game, which is not going to happen, that they could go 0-5 in division play, and I guess this starts that off.
Yeah, exactly.
That game's, really quick, it's One Mountain Time on Root Sports and streaming if you live outside that region. So, all right, next up, Nevada is at Buffalo, which is a weird MAC game where it's like the furthest parts of the country almost, Reno to Buffalo. And it's an even line, which means nobody knows anything on this game, in my opinion.
Well, Buffalo had a 1-point favorite last night. So really nobody knows anything. Buffalo coming in at 2-1, beat their FCS team pretty handily.
That's a
lost and won last week. Nevada beat Davis, but have lost to some pretty good teams and not as badly as we thought. So I feel like Nevada is going to kind of take it in the road this one.
I think
Stewart's doing well with Hassan Anderson.
I think they could as well, because versus Texas A&M, they played closer than people thought, and they got back in that game. There's the turnovers late. Like, they had the turnover and tried to score again, but they get coughed it up to make it really, really close. But they played Arizona. Yeah, Arizona, they played okay. Better. The offense with Don Jackson running the ball, and then, like I said, Tyler Stewart's playing very well. And then they have the third running back as well. James Butler. I'm thinking of the guy from it's not the guy in the Packers. That's what I'm thinking of, a mixture of two guys. They're both doing pretty well, and that's what I've said this a couple of times. That's what you want the Pistol to be. And this will be the easiest team they've played outside of their opener. And Buffalo doesn't have Khalil Mack on their team, so he's not going to be stopping Jackson or anybody. They played well versus Penn State somewhat well. But kind of looking at what they do, I haven't really seen Buffalo enough. Like, I don't really know what they're all about. We're doing a QA with the guys from U Bull Run, so we'll get some more info on that. But Joe Licata, very effective at completing two-thirds of his pass. Nevada does have to worry about Anthony Taylor, who's over 300 yards in three games. And then passing game, besides being efficient, they're not really – he has 550 yards in three games. That's not very good.
No, not –
that is, let's see, per game he's putting up. He had 105 versus freaking Florida Atlantic last week. And they won 33-15. I think you're right with Nevada. The teams they've played, they'll just be able to. This will be like a somewhat of a step down, not a ton. But it's easier than playing Arizona and Texas A&M.
I hate to say I was impressed by their loss, but it just showed me that Nevada just hung in there. The game's even, but I see Nevada running away with this one by two touchdowns.
I think they could, but I just don't trust their defense as much. So you got to get in, stay out. It's on the road, so that's kind of difficult a little bit. I think Nevada will win, but it'll be somewhat close just because they got to show me something. They haven't beaten an FBS team, so that's where I'm like, well, they'll probably win. They have got the personnel to do that. Like you said, Hashawn Henderson, Tyler Stewart, James Butler, Don Jackson. The Pistol offense has the keys in place. They seem to be effective. I think they will, but I still think Nevada makes Nevada mistakes sometimes, and that could come back to get them, and it'll be a reasonably close game. But, yeah, that's where I come down. They'll win, but it'll be kind of close. That game's only streaming, so it's on Watch the ESPN at 3:30 Buffalo time, 12:30 Reno.
Something of that sort.
There we go. Smooth.
It's going to be early game. I think it's 12 noon Pacific time.
No, it's 1:30 Pacific. Here it is. 12:30 Pacific time. Sorry. That's what it is. Next game, we got the game I thought would be an upset. San Diego State at Penn State, 3:30 out there in Happy Valley. Another 12:30 Pacific time. That's on Big Ten Network. Do you know what the line on this game is? Have you seen? 15? Yeah, we discussed it yesterday. 15, and it's. Yeah, well, I know. I'm just. Hey, we're trying to recreate something here. Come on.
I know. And I'm recreating. I'm still
right. Correct. You are. Over-under is a shockingly low 39.5. And here's the thing about Penn State. They gave up 10 sacks in the Temple loss. That's the only sack they've given up, but this defense, they played. Like I said, Buffalo, we just discussed. They beat Rutgers pretty easily. But interesting, this Aztec defense is the best defense they've seen since Temple. And Aztecs are getting Jake Feely back. And with the 3-3-5 combination of what Rocky Long will do, I expect there could be a lot of sacks against Christian Hattenberg.
Yeah, exactly. And you said at the beginning of the season that San Diego State should be able to beat Penn State.
I did.
And I said, possibly, but I can't trust San Diego State. I can't trust them, especially after what they did last week, especially when losing to South Alabama. Sorry, I know Penn State's lost to Temple, but Temple's turning into a good team. Maxwell Smith has passed for more yards than Christian Hackenberg.
What? Are you serious? I did not know. Wow. And Maxwell Smith isn't very good. Hattenberg, here's the stats right here. He has completed 49% of his passes, 372 yards, a touchdown, and two interceptions. That's not good.
No. And Maxwell Smith, he's only got like 20-something odd yards more. But the fact is so fast. Maxwell Smith is, quote-unquote, a better passer than Christian Hackenberg.
Wait. Looking at Maxwell Smith's numbers, he's a worse passer, 47%. He does have two TDs and two picks. Both these teams are terrible. How did Penn State beat Rutgers by two touchdowns, 20-3? How did that happen? Oh, here's why. Saquon Barkley and Akil Lynch combined for over 300 yards rushing, and their rushing game averaged 8 yards a carry. That's how. Wow. So it'll be Donald Pumphrey, it'll be the running show. So this game could be over like in 2 hours, in 10 minutes.
Yeah, by both teams. And that's the thing. Oh, and that's the other thing. Donald Pumphrey has less rushing yards than Penn State's pressure.
Yeah, Pumphrey.
I looked this up last night. I have to look this up because I'm pretty sure that's what I saw last night.
I got it right here. Pumphrey has only 249, averaging a paltry 3.7 yards per carry. And yeah, Saquon Barkley doing much better. 311, averaging 9.1 a carry. Whew.
Yeah, this is going to be. Oh my goodness. Penn State's going to win this, aren't they?
I'm going to stick with my San Diego State pick for some reason. And a reason behind it, I think the running game will come around a little bit. Chase Price is doing pretty well. They just need to find, get Eric Judge involved, maybe Mika Holder in the receiving game a bit more. I think this might be a defensive game. Maybe Calvin Munson can make a play like I did week one. Like I said, Jake Feely is back in the game, so maybe that'll be something where they get some sacks if they're going to. Because here's the thing, James Franklin, he's a good recruiter. He has shown not able to coach at a high level. I don't know how he did it at Vanderbilt when he was a coach there, but his in-game coaching does not impress me one bit. And
I'm going to interrupt this podcast for a moment. So Cincinnati is currently leading Memphis 39-38 with 10 minutes in the fourth quarter. There have been like 3 lead changes in the last quote-unquote like 10 minutes of gameplay.
It's an exciting game. And then Gunnar Kill, people already saw that and everything. So he's doing better as of right now. But tomorrow we should know more, hopefully. So that's a good – if you're not watching that game now, well, you probably missed it. So I hope you watched it last night. looking at the Penn State rush defense, it's actually pretty good versus Rutgers. They gave up not even 1.5 yards per carry and only 2 versus Buffalo. So I'm going to change my pick and go Penn State's going to win. Because I like Pumphrey. I think he'll do okay, but if their rush defense is that good, I don't think Chase Price, whoever's running the ball, won't be able to do that or do as well as they should. Unless the only way I could see maybe get some short fields and some sack strip fumbles or something like that, because they've given up 10 sacks against Penn State, and Penn State's defense is probably – or not Penn State, excuse me. Temple's defense is probably – I'd say San Diego State and their defense are not too far apart.
So wait, this isn't your stupid upset pick of the
week? I'm changing it after looking at what the Penn State rush defense can actually do. And they can actually stop people from running the ball. So sorry about that. I'll say it'll be a single-digit game, but it won't be a blowout. And I'm not taking the Aztecs to win. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Penn State. It pains me to say that because I really want San Diego State to do well, but I just can't see it, especially not after South Alabama lost.
Hey, good point. Next game, Colorado State at Texas San Antonio, CBS Sports Network. I'm glad this week there's no super late games. There's just actually just kind of one, I guess, but not really. But CSU at UTSA, 5 Mountain time there, CBS Sports Network. Rams are a 10-point road favorite. Rashard Higgins is back in the lineup. He needs to do a little bit better. Texas San Antonio, they're 0-3, and we've seen them play. They've been kind of, they're playing close to, they played Arizona, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, 0-3. They got smoked by Oklahoma State. They hung around Arizona and lost pretty bad to Kansas State. So they're not a good team, but they do have potential to play a style of football that can be cause teams issues with their tempo and somewhat success.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I just lost my schedule. Hold on.
For UTSA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, Coker. The thing with Colorado State is Rashard Higgins has to get more involved. He hasn't really been the super really reliable guy. I mean, he's been clutch, but I mean, you can't lose to Colorado last week off dumb mistakes. Nick Stevens has been better than advertised, but Higgins is kind of, even since he's been back, he's kind of been reserved. He needs to have a breakout game against UTSA this week.
He doesn't. Could just be his ankle injury, which kept him out of the Minnesota game, which they really could be 3-0, but they're not, and that's how it works.
Very easily they could be 3-0.
They lost 2 overtime games by field goal. And so that's kind of what it is. But what they need, Dale and Dawkins is coming to be a pretty big-time running back to take over for DeHart. Jason Oden Jr. is doing a pretty good job as a backup. Higgins versus Colorado played well, 8 for 125 and a touchdown. But again, you're playing Colorado, and his 2 games, he had 15 catches and 2 touchdowns in 2 games. So he's playing well. But I don't know, what do you mean a breakout game? He's played pretty well each time. What do you mean reserved, or do you just want him to have a monster 200-yard game or something?
Yeah, and this is the game to do it. UTSA's defense isn't as great as advertised. I mean, they've given up 47 points per game so far through the 3 games.
Yeah, 42, 30, and 69.
I'm not sure Oklahoma State's that great of a team. I know Kansas State is not that good of a team this year, and then you lose 30 to 3 to them. Colorado State just needs to be able to just take it to the house.
They should. Because I'm looking at what UTSA has for quarterback play. They sling the ball a lot, I'm going to butcher his name, but Blake Bogenschutz. He's completing about 60%, but here's a couple of guys they should look out for. David Morgan, Kerry Thomas, Aaron Grubb all have over 12 catches each. They're doing pretty well, but looking at Grubb, he's a 7-yard guy of reception. So he's kind of I need a first down or I need a couple yards to get it to him. There's nobody that stands out besides maybe Morgan because he's somewhat of a deep threat, over 13 a play reception, but they complete the ball reasonably well, barely 60%. So they're just a team they'll have spurts. That's what I think of UTSA, because there's the game last year when this Arizona, they almost upset. They'll score 20 points real quick, and then they'll play terrible. So this will be a game where I could see Colorado say they're behind 10 to 14 points or up 10 to 14 points, but the Roadrunners will make some sort of run to make the game interesting. So it could end up being like a 40 to 20 win, but where it's always within 10 points or something, and then the Rams score a late touchdown to go up big. I think that's kind of the flow of the game. Colorado State just can't get comfortable if they have a big lead because this offense can be explosive, but not enough to be victorious against the Rams.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next game, Hawaii's brutal schedule continues. Oh, geez. At number 22, Wisconsin.
So coming back to this, Hawaii could conceivably be the best team in the West and have the worst record.
They are 2-1 at the moment, you know that.
They do have a winning record. This is true. They held Ohio State to a decent halftime score, even though they couldn't score any points.
Well, even until the third quarter, I think it was 24-0, if that. But here's the thing. Wisconsin, they've lost Alabama, weren't close. They haven't looked impressive. They're still ranked somehow. They, like I said, 35-17 Alabama. They shut out Miami, Ohio, who's terrible. They beat Troy by 25 points, and Troy's not that good of a team. This could be the second best team they've played on the schedule, possibly. Joel Stalvey's finally doing a bit better, can sling the ball around. They don't have a running game, which is odd for Wisconsin. I know they have a new coach, Paul Chris, there. But Melvin Gordon is not around anymore. And this is another name I'm going to screw up here. Dare Ogunbowale. Ogunbowale doesn't even have 200 yards. Twine deal has 143. They don't have a running game what they normally do. They do have Alex Erickson receiving, like wide receiver, but this team's not impressive. I'm not sure why they're ranked. Just outside of being ranked in the preseason, they dropped down because they lost Alabama, and they're just kind of ranked just because they're ranked.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they can score some points. I'm not sure if they can score enough even to keep up for half.
For you, who do you mean, Hawaii?
Hawaii, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Wisconsin. I'm like, wait a minute, what are you talking about there?
No. Why would I say Wisconsin can score enough points to keep up with Hawaii? Come on.
I don't think this is 25 points. I think that's too much for this game because Hawaii's defense is reasonably good. And Wisconsin off, like I said, they haven't showed me much of anything to say, yeah, they can put up all these points against any team. Hawaii, they do need Max Wittig to improve because he hasn't been doing, he threw for under 100 yards against, who was it, Ohio State a couple weeks ago. Max Wittig has, let's see, where's his numbers? Dang, I hate ESPN. They change all their stats and everything and where you find stuff. So this is annoying me. Here we go. He hasn't been, like, he's been okay, but not what people thought. He's still barely 50%, 5-4 touchdown interception. Marcus Kemp, they do have some talent. Like, Marcus Kemp and Paul Harris is surprisingly doing very good running the ball. I think you mentioned last night, was it State? You say his name. You know who I'm talking about. The running back who's out. State Dolce. What's it? That guy? That guy, yes, him. He's not playing. He's done. So,
but Joe Harris has been a good Paul Harris has been a good substitute. So, you know, I'm not sure where you're going with that.
That's why I'm
He's got more yards. He's got more yards than Wisconsin so far.
He does have a 195 yard run, which does skew things. But still, he made that big play. That those big plays happen. I think. It's just tough because Marcus Kemp's doing pretty well. That's the only receiver they have on the team, really. And they're not going to win. I could say that confidently. They're not going to win, but I'm just trying to think of a way where it could be reasonably close because... No. So what do you think? How do you think this is playing out? Because who's better defensively, Wisconsin or Ohio State?
Ohio State. Much, much better.
So you think Hawaii could put some points on this game, perhaps?
Yeah, I think so.
It's just going to be a 3-touchdown game. I'll just go simple as that. If you're heading to a location where you can legally do those things, take Hawaii. Next.
Yeah, take Hawaii under the spread, but they're not going to win. I think it's going to be at a 16-20 point loss.
I still think it's funny. It's 24.5 points, and it's a 50 over-under. That's just interesting. What's that? You know, what's that? 35-10 or something, right? 38-13?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, it's possible.
So that's what I was predicting
last night. Something, I think we figured it out. Yes. Next, Idaho State UNLV. UNLV should win. Get their first win for Tony Sanchez, and they'll raise a banner of some sort for their first victory. Man, this game, it's a late kick. It's streaming on the Campus Insiders or Mountain West Network. It's 6 local. It's going to be 100 degrees at kickoff at 6 o'clock at night. That is hot.
That's going to be ridiculous, especially on artificial turf.
Ugh. Yeah, because it's getting hot out here in Utah. This weekend's supposed to be pretty warm. It's after cooling off for a couple days, it's going to be, I think, mid-low 90s, so... And I just want to see UNLV, Blake Decker, be healthy, play well, get everybody involved. Devontae Boyd, find a running back. Or not find a running back, but have Kevin Whitley play a good running back. You know what I mean? Just have him show up for a bit, have him have a big game. Because he's been okay, but he hasn't been. He has 170 yards. And one of those runs is 41 yards. That's why I see establish a running game and have Blake Decker complete 60% of his passes. Is that too much to ask against Idaho State?
50% yes. 50% no.
But he's already at 50%. Can you give me 58?
Is he?
He's 50.8 on the year. Yes. Why, do you expect that to be higher or lower?
I actually expected it to be
lower. They're going to win. There's not much to say in this game. I just want to see them play a complete game and get a good victory at home. Because we know what Devontae Boyd can do. He's doing fine. A freakishly good 20 yards a catch. Only 11 so far. Kendall Keys is another receiver that's stepping up a little bit. All I want to see, you'll probably agree with me, just a complete game and just... I want to see UNLV just dominate a team, which I don't think they've done in years. Just beating a team so bad.
Yeah, exactly. I want to see a 50-point domination. It's not going to happen, so maybe I'll ask for a 35-point domination. But I beat down has to happen.
All right.
This team's perfectly capable of it. They almost beat NIU first week.
It's just the second half in depth, and this time they'll have the depth issue on their side. Also, one quick note, really quick. I know something else about the previous game. You know Hawaii's 3-0 against the spread this year?
Is that what I told you last night?
I don't know. I just saw it right here on ESPN Insider. I'm just saying. You may have. I don't recall. It could have been one of the four times I dropped off the phone call.
Yeah, I mentioned it last night on our previous podcast. But, they're 3-0 against the spread this year. It's crazy. Pick them against the spread every single week.
There you go. Next, final game of the week. Another conference game. Fresno at San Jose State. San Jose State's underrated. They're 1-2, but I think they... I don't think I voted them correctly in our power poll, but I think they could be the best team in the West Division right now. Despite us... San Jose State, yes. You heard me, the Spartans.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but... Wow. I don't know who the best West team is, and it's funny that you say San Jose State because at the beginning we were saying, it's possible it could be a dark horse, but now that you're saying that, I totally see it. But the problem is Joe Graham starting as a quarterback.
Well, yeah, you mentioned the quarterback situation for San Jose State, and I believe, is it Joe Gray, or do they say it was Kenny Potter starting?
I thought Joe Gray went down in an injury last week.
Oh, that's right. Let me check our good friend Jimmy Durkin here. Let me see here. I remember him writing something about the depth chart.
Sorry, dying on the other line over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You going to make it? Maybe. Maybe not. We'll find out.
Maybe.
To be determined? Is that the way we should go?
You know what? I'm trying to make this show as exciting as possible. Me dropping down the show would definitely be exciting.
Hey, we thought we had gunshot a cup last time. Did you ever tell people what that was? Wasn't it a car backfiring?
Yeah, I told when Matt and I did it, not last Sunday, but the Sunday before, I said that it was backfired, and Alpha commented as well.
Okay, it's been a long time. I don't recall exactly. No, it is. The depth chart is exactly. What did he have here? Yeah, Potter. Potter's a starter because the high ankle sprain. But I do think San Jose State showing something. Because if Potter's as equal as Joe Gray, I'm somewhat confident because I did a quick piece earlier today. Well, not quick. It took a while. But like the best combination per team, and who San Jose State has. Do people even really know who Tyler Winston and Tyler Irvin are?
I don't know, but...
They should?
That being said, they should.
Because Tyler Irvin leading the conference in rushing touchdowns with 6. He has 340 yards. He does it all. Like, he'll catch. He's caught in 12 passes. He's returned kicks. He's technically a running back, and then, like, same with Winston. He's technically a wide receiver, but they kind of do it all. They do need to get, I think, Winston involved a bit more, but I think they could be, because Oregon State's not great, but the West isn't good either, and they played them pretty close in their game last week. Because in Kenny Potter, his limited time, he's completed 74% of his passes, which is much better than Joe Gray. He was 8 of 9 in the Oregon State loss. And I don't know what to make of that. They played 3 quarterbacks last week, so it's like, was it all injury or was it ineffectiveness? Because the game was only a 35-21 game. It wasn't a blowout either way to merit to play 3 quarterbacks.
Well, you see, tie game.
You talking Cincy, Memphis?
Yes. You know, it seems like the whole Mountain West is trying to go quarterback system this year. But yeah, I would suggest you start the backup but you'll see. You'll now can save Fresno State is Marquise Waller. Greenlee is out.
Here's what we know. Chasen Virgil is out with an injury. For those who know, Zach Greenlee got busted for what, underage drinking and just shenanigans with a soccer player and stuff. So stuff's going on, similar to the, as we mentioned in our last show, with Ryan Finley. Our guy, who's it, Scott Terzon, who does some of our Fresno stuff, it's going to be questionable who's starting because the depth chart was probably put out before this is broke. And I'm like, oh, heck, it says it's going to be Greenlee because it listed a starter and the backup, but that's not necessarily the case. They're probably not going to announce till game day, which is what they normally do, which is... Because here's the latest update right here. I'll read from the Fresno Bee from Robert Quada. It's saying, quote, "We take all cases seriously and we'll handle matters internally," says the AD Bartko saying, "with review from our student-athlete code of conduct, we'll make a decision. We'll have no further comment after that." So that's all we know. And Druder said a similar thing. "We're not going to make an announcement on anything that's going to happen, whether he's playing or not playing, until Saturday." So we have no clue if he's playing or not. Does that make a difference if he's starting or not, if it's Zach Greenlee or whoever else?
I guess. But like I said, at this point, Jason's out.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Greenlee may or may not be in, but even if he's in, who knows if he's going to be playing well enough.
It would be for Childress is the number 2 at this time, if we go by... Not counting on the implications of Greenlee being out.
But see, here's the good thing. If he just gives the ball to Waller and let him run, San Jose State cannot stop the run.
True. They've gotten better at it, but not quite.
Storm Woods ran up a storm on them last week. The Air Force offense ran up a storm on them the week before.
Yeah, that fourth quarter. They can. The fourth quarter was 100 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Something of that sort.
Sorry. Yeah, you're right. do you want to predict where they're at in Mountain West rushing defense?
San Jose State?
Yeah.
They're either 11th or 12th.
They're last in multiple categories. They're last in yards per game at 285. They are middle of the pack. All right, they're 11th in attempts per game given up. They're last in touchdowns at 10. They give up the worst average at 6.08 per game, and of course they're going to be last in yards and second to last in attempts. So they're basically the bottom. However, Fresno, if you look what Marquise Waller has been given, like the amount of carries he's getting, I get they're losing. They need to pass in these games, like when they get beat out by Utah and when they get beat by Ole Miss, they're down big time. But Waller, I'll take that back. He's doing better than I thought he was, 102 yards a game, but he has no touchdowns and only doing 4 yards a carry, 4.5. And to make matters worse, 154 that came against Abilene Christian. So in the past 2 games, 153 yards against Mississippi and Utah.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead. Wow. Now that you brought that up, and see, I'm going to say San Jose State wins this. But let me ask you this: now that you said what you said at the very beginning of this game, which was San Jose State has the possibility to be the best team in the West, do you really believe that after reading those stats?
No. Offensively, yes. Defensively, still no. Because one thing we also criticized was their red zone efficiency, which was just terrible. War beyond terrible, like the worst in the country. That rush defense, no. But here's the thing, out West, if we stick by that, San Diego State probably should beat them because Donald Pumphrey, but who else has a running back? UNLV doesn't have a running back. Nevada does with Don Jackson. He's not there yet. I don't consider him there yet. I will say their offense has more potential than anybody in the West, if that makes sense. Because Fresno, well, they have one dimension because they have Waller, good. Aztecs have Pumphrey. Maybe I'd say them and Nevada have the best offense in the West Division. And so if you have offense, and we know nobody else has a really good defense, so it's like, why can't they be maybe not the best, but I could see them contending for that West Division title. And right now, for Red Zone, they're 9 of 11 in scoring opportunities, 72% touchdown, and the rest is field goal. They're 9 of 11, so that's much better than last year, where they're just awful. It's still not great, but it's still that 81% is still early, but 9 scores is middle of, fifth in the conference, so their defense is an issue. And first note with Waller, you're right. He could just run up a storm, and he's gotten the amount of carries needed to be. Like, he only had, 16 or 18 last week for Utah, but that got out of hand early, and he could. I don't see why he shouldn't, but he should, but I don't know if that's enough. Because what are your thoughts on the Fresno defense? Look what they've given up.
They hardly have the defense to stand up right now. I'm still sticking to it. I say San Jose State wins this game.
Well, so do I. It's at home. It's on CBS Sports Network, 8:30. We were going to get a Q&A from Aaron Taylor, but apparently there's some snags with that, so we'll have that next week because he's calling the game. So I wanted some good insight for quarterback stuff, but they'll kind of switch the questions up a little bit. I'm asking him, so that'll change a little bit. So I kind of wanted that, but that game, I'm going to go Fresno, or excuse me, no, not Fresno. I'm going for San Jose State to win because of what I said. Here's what I expect, though. Waller to have a big game finally. Without the quarterback situation being known, I can't confidently take Fresno State. It would be irresponsible to do that.
Yeah, that's understandable.
And Matt, if you want to go to the game, it is only $31 on StubHub. Just saying.
How do you know he's already not going to the game?
Oh, it's also in San Jose. Uh-huh. It's also in San Jose, so it's a little bit of a drive for him.
Oh, okay. Fine.
So that's what
I'm not going to the game.
Uh-huh. I know you're not. Your schedule is about as tough as mine, and you probably want a day just to rest and do nothing and watch football.
Yeah.
All right, anything else we need to discuss on the show? Anything you want to bring up at all? Buy your socks on Bombas? Is that a good thing to do? So we discuss that really quick?
Yes, let's do that, please.
Here's what I got for Bombas. I was kind of spitballed. I know enough about it. Here's the thing. You can call me a nerd if you want. I'm going to the Salt Lake Comic Con on Saturday. Yes, Comic Con. Chris Evans is in town. Captain America, Falcon.
Nerd.
Agent Carter is going to be in town. Ashley Sitwell. I'm going to be Haley Atwell. Sorry, excuse me. Yeah, who's on the TV show Agent Carter.
Can I have your ticket, please?
I don't have tickets to see them because it's $250 to get a photo and autograph with Captain America. That's expensive.
Forget Captain America. I want to see Haley Atwell.
I'll take some photos with our nice zoom lens we have and just get. That's what we're planning on doing. We have a good camera to take photos from far away. But back to the point, feet. If you're on your feet for 10 hours, isn't that the most important thing?
I am.
Yeah, you teach all day. I get to sit in a chair, but I walk a little bit, I bike some. But on Saturday, I'm probably not going to watch any football, which sucks. I'll watch enough to know what's going on for Sunday, assuming I commit to the Sunday show since I haven't been to one in a couple weeks. Your feet are important. Long way around it. We'll see. But feet. Your feet you want. I'm going to be wearing the most comfortable socks ever, Bombas socks. No joke. I want to be comfortable. Who doesn't want to have feet? You don't want to wear crappy socks. You want to have a hole in the socks. These socks are worth their weight in gold, in my opinion. And one cool thing about it, they'll donate a pair of socks to anyone you purchase to a homeless shelter because that's the number one thing homeless shelters need, socks. Because, heck, it's going to be winter here in Utah. And I ride my bike by people all the time. They could use a pair of Bombas socks. So if you buy a pair, maybe I'll see a guy who's just kind of hanging out in his tent and get a pair of socks. That'd be pretty cool. I'm like, hey, Bombas, thumbs up. But just check them out. We got a code. Go to bombas.com/MountainWest20. You get 20% off 4 pair of socks, but trust me, they're more comfortable. I've heard people, you know, the NBA socks, people really, really like those NBA socks, like the official for the players wear. I have a pair of those from the Jazz Media Day or something. People will really want those. These Bombas are more comfortable from that. So if you know what the NBA socks are, these trump those by quite a bit. So yeah, Mountain West 20 is our code for Bombas.com. Check that out. I'm wearing a pair right now. I'm wearing my gray and orange ones. Maybe I'll take a photo later and tweet it out. So that's what we got. So, hey, give Chris a couple bucks for helping me out with the show. Is that a good idea?
Sure.
Sure. We'll see. We'll discuss socks, man. Check them out. But that's our show for the week. We have a lot of cool stuff. One article I wrote, pretty cool. Check it out. I put the combos of the best conference or from the conference for each team. For your Boise State team, I don't think you read it. Who would you put as the best two players, essentially combination or best set of players on the team that kind of relate to each other? I'm putting you on the spot, but I'm just curious if you thought the same way I did.
You have to go combo?
Yeah, because it's a Reese's combo.
I'm going to go with an odd one.
Okay.
I think Kamale Kamara and...
That's what I picked.
Really?
That is what I picked. I am not kidding. We know each other too well.
I was going to go with an offensive punch. I was like, Jeremy McNicholson. And who else?
Yeah.
Was I going to go with Chelsea Young, or was I going to go with Devon Demas, or all of them? Because they're all good, but a nice combo 1-2 punch. Correa and Dion.
There we go. We're exactly the same, apparently. So check that out. Put a vote in the poll. I did. There's a couple of teams. Like, here's the hardest one. Fresno State was the most difficult one I could come up with. So I went with, just real quick, I know we're almost an hour here, but I went Martez Waller. Well, obviously, I'm like, crap, who else do I pick? So I ended up going with Josiah Blandon because he has 3 touchdowns. That was tough. Like, Utah State, Colin Fackrell, Nick Vigil, simple. But yeah, that's just hilarious. People complain about us talking about Boise State. I chose Boise State because that's Chris's team. So relax, people.
I talk Boise State I talk UNLV almost as much as I talk Boise State. Nobody ever complains when I talk UNLV football.
You should read. Really, this is off topic, but I know you have admin access to our Facebook page. Look at the comments I deleted real quick later. Not now, but after the show. When I posted the uniform combination, and yeah, that's exciting. So I deleted those. So keep it clean on Facebook, folks. I rarely delete stuff, but come on, keep it clean. That's what I got for tonight. Check us out.
I'm not looking at Facebook comments.
Well, check on them later after the show. You'll see, because you can see the deleted ones, correct?
Because they showed up in the semi comments.
Okay. Well, that's what I got for tonight. MWCConnection.com. Let's get Chris to 500 followers. So go to follow Greek Padre on Twitter. Follow us, MWC Connection. Give us reviews, SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, all sorts of stuff. Give us some reviews.
This is the most awesome show I've ever heard in my entire life.
Also,
it's so cool. There were two hosts who were always on there, and they were talking so much football. I can't believe it.
That's great. Hey, real quick, do you have an Apple device, like iPhone or anything? I'm just asking because we're apparently on Apple News or something like that.
What, Apple News?
Like there's some...
I know we're on iTunes.
No. This is like just articles and stuff. Like I guess Vox Media has a deal with new Apple News. Like we're the preferred partners on there. So I didn't know if you had an iPhone. I don't, so... Cool if we do, but that's what we got for tonight. Check us out, MWCConnection.com. We'll see if I'm back for the preview show. So if you like me on the show, hope I'm back. If not, hope for me to get ill or something. I don't know if you don't want me on the recap show. But that's what we got for tonight. And let's we got conference play starting up. So, yeah, let's keep it going. And hopefully your team wins this week.